I want to direct your attention in the word of the Lord, going to the book of Acts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. I want to begin reading at verse 25. We're going to read the New Living Translation. I believe that you have a slide or something back there that you can read with me. Put it up on the screen. Thank you, Jesus. Verses 25 through 28. Still talking about refocusing on the spirit of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord says here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, New Living Translation. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." Put my slide up on the screen. I want to challenge you today to pray and praise until the chains fall. Pray and praise until the chain fall. Bless your word to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Paul and Silas, ordinary men with an ordinary problem, needing an extraordinary God to do an extraordinary thing. They were locked down in jail. I want to tell you something that you might not have known, but racism brought Paul and Silas together. To really understand, you'll have to go back to the 15th chapter of Acts, and you will see that racism was working in Antioch. And there were men who came down from Judea after hearing that the message of Christ had gone forth in Antioch. They were telling the people, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." But Paul and Barnabas got into a debate, a heated argument with those Jews who came to Antioch. Oh yes, before there was a Paul and Silas, there was a Paul and Barnabas. These messengers had a message of racism, but it was cloaked and put under the cover of religion about circumcision. And if I believe that the chronology is correct, as I read from the 14th chapter of Acts and go on in the sequence to the 15th chapter of Acts, it's clear to me that Paul and Barnabas was in Antioch. Antioch, that city where they were first called Christians. And so after a time of debate, they finally agreed, let's send Paul and Barnabas and let's let them go to Jerusalem and bring this question of circumcision to the apostles and the elders. And so they put their little means together, started their journey. On their way to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas passed through a place called Phoenicia and Samaria, and they told them about God moving among the Gentiles and conversion, real change of heart. People got born again. And these brethren in Phoenicia and in Samaria, they got filled with joy. They carried on until they finally got to Jerusalem, and they were received in Jerusalem by the church, received in Jerusalem by the apostles and the elders that were there, as they began to declare to them all that God had done with them. Because the truth of the matter was, even though they were under the cloak of a religious mindset, the devil was really behind their effort. The enemy was behind their effort, because what the enemy never wants is it doesn't want people to get to the Lord. They continued to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, started telling what God had done, they found out that racism was not just in Antioch. The people from Judea didn't follow them to Jerusalem. But when they got to Jerusalem, some people there got up and started saying the same thing. They've got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, the same one that they couldn't keep, the same one that they didn't keep, the same one they didn't even want to keep. But I want you to understand that when you began to look at these spirits that operate in this world, you can just begin to see it as the color of skin, dark, light, white or black. But no, there is a spirit behind these things. And they learned soon that this spirit works in all children of disobedience. And he endeavors to influence and to operate in those who are spiritually ignorant. And when these Jews and Gentiles come together and meet at the cross of Christ Jesus, it is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. And so the apostles and the elders considered the matter as they disputed. Peter got up. Thank God for Peter. Peter got up and began to say, you all know how the Lord made choice of me and God selected me to be a minister to the Gentile. He was reminding them that I had the dream, remember? I had the vision, remember? And I heard the Lord saying, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And I said, not so, Lord. But God was dealing with Peter about breaking down the walls that divide men. But see, you've got to understand that this spirit is about keeping those who could come into light in darkness. Oh, I know we think it's just purely economic, but here you got to understand that it is a spirit that operates in the world, and he always cloaks himself. Amen, church. And he says, God, use me. And God gave them the Holy Ghost like he gave it to us. And God made no difference between them and us. God purified their hearts by faith. And they kept going. And Paul and Barnabas had a mighty testimony of what God was doing and had done in Antioch. And then finally, James stood up. I'm just running through the 15th chapter. He stood up and began to declare, oh, Simeon was one that God used, and he visited the Gentiles so that God would take out of them a people for his name. And I'm still saying to you, God doesn't just want Jews saved, he wants us saved. He doesn't just want one race of people to have the things of God, he wants us all to have the things of God. James goes on to say that God declared that I'm going to return. I'm going to build the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and build again the ruins, and I will set it up again so that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all Gentiles upon whom my name is called, the Lord says, I'm the one that's doing all these things. And I thank God for James, because James made it clear that God has always intended to break down the walls of racism that was and still is the plan of God. Oh, it's not just about economy and the economics, but it's about getting from light, from darkness into the light of God. It's getting from the outside into the kingdom of God. And God was not just speaking to Jews when James uttered these words. He was speaking of the Gentiles. God says, I am going to return. I'm going to build again, and I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David. Not a tabernacle of Jews, but a tabernacle of Gentiles worshiping God, blessing God. And we are of the tabernacle of David. Because God's eternal purpose is that the rest of us will seek after God. And God is still breaking down those walls, especially the ones that will keep men from God. Amen. God's still doing it. And it can only be done through the power of the Holy Ghost, because it makes it clear when the Holy Ghost is involved that God is in it. And though men in those days, as they are even in our day, were in confusion, God knows what he's doing. Because racism is that trouble for people that makes them turn away from God rather than turning toward God. So the word was, let's not trouble the people. Let's not upset them. Let's not try to add injury to them if they are turning to God. Because James' summation was, let's let the people get to God. Satan blocks the Gentiles because he wants the lost to stay with their idols. He wants the lost to live in fornication. He wants the lost to miss the redemption that comes through the blood of the living Christ. He wants the lost to die only knowing the death filled blood of strangled and dead things and never know the life-giving blood of a living God. And so when they had finished and had written their letter, glory to God, those apostles and elders at Jerusalem put together a band of four. Paul and Barnabas, who had come to from Antioch to Jerusalem, Judas and Silas, not Iscariot, but Judas, whose surname was Barsabas. They had come together and they said, let's let these men connect and let's send them from Jerusalem back to Antioch with a letter. And they had a letter from the Holy Ghost and a letter from the people there in Jerusalem. And the word was, go forward in God. I summarize, go forward in God. We have not authorized those who are trying to subvert your souls and keep you under Jewish law and keep you under Jewish traditions, because God is not about the circumcision of the flesh, but he's about the circumcision of the heart. And so as the story goes on, they made their way back to Antioch with a word of racial reconciliation through Christ. And as they were dismissed and they came to Antioch, the multitude gathered together. They delivered them this word, and Judas and Silas, who were prophets, they were there, and they began to exhort the brothers with words and to confirm them. And I'm still saying, let the prophets speak. I'm still saying, let the ones who have a word from the Lord be used of God. And they spoke not of the future events to come, but they were declaring with spiritual precision the mind of God in that day and in that time. They were prophets who were all about spiritual breakthrough. And these prophets, not only did they give the word in Antioch that they'd received from Jerusalem, but they remained with Paul and Barnabas while they were trying to hold together the believers that had been joined to Christ. They stayed there. Well, it appears that Barsabas went on back to Jerusalem, but Silas says, I'm going to hang around a little longer. And he stayed there with Paul and Barnabas, continuing in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God. Well, somewhere during that time, Paul and Barnabas says, let's go back and see how the people are doing in the other open doors that God had. But there was a little debate that took place with Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas says, well, if we're going, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, oh no, we can't take him with us. It got a little heated along the way, and John Mark abandoned us. No, he can't go with us. And Barnabas was saying, give the boy a chance, give him a chance, let's hang with him. He said, no, I'm not going with him. And they got into sharp contention. They were into a heated debate among themselves. And so he says, I'm not going with you. And he says, I'm not going with you. And from the outward perspective, It seemed that contention were men of God getting into the flesh. But I want to tell you something. When I look back at it in hindsight, it's sometime 2020 vision. They were really not arguing about something that they really truly understood. I believe that God was putting a cloak around John Mark, because if John Mark had abandoned him when it got tough earlier, John Mark would have completely left God had he gone with Paul on this second missionary journey. Oh yes, John Mark was a little weak. John Mark was a little timid. Glory to God. He was one that the enemy could taunt, because only God knew that Paul was headed toward this jail in Thyatira. Can you say amen? And so they broke up, and glory to God. I believe that Barnabas had a call of God to be a blessing to John Mark. And we know it was a blessing, because later on he said, bring him with you, because he's profitable in the ministry. I'm here to tell you that God sometimes know how to lead you the right way around, so you don't fall out, so you don't miss it all, so that you don't abandon God in the long run. But let me just jump ahead to the 16th chapter, and let's look and walk with Paul and Silas when they came to Thyatira. They had good ministry in that city, and while they were there, there was a young woman that had a spirit of divination. She was what you would call a soothsayer, and they paid her good money to tell about things. Well, this woman, though bound by this devil, still had enough sight. Though blinded by this evil, she still had enough sight so that she cried about Paul and about Silas and said, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show to us the way of salvation. And she didn't just do it one time. For many days, she just walked behind them, telling them what they were. And the Bible said the thing grieved Paul. And one day, Paul had had enough. And Paul turned back and not deal with the woman, but dealt with the spirit behind the woman, and said, you spirit, come out of her. And immediately that devil came out, that spirit came out. And when that spirit came out, she was no longer a woman of divination. She was no longer a woman who was soothsaying. And the masters who had been making money off of her, it shows us just how racism works under so many circumstances. Oh, they were making money and abusing her with that demon spirit. They got angry at Paul and angry at Silas. They drew them out into the marketplace. John Mark wouldn't have been able to handle that. There was a mob. There were people who got them and stripped them of their clothes and began to beat them with wooden rods. I said they beat them with wooden rods. In fact, Paul declares, there was a time that I even got beaten 40 times. This might have been one of those times. I don't know how many times they beat him. But what I do know, hallelujah, is they laid the stripes on Paul and Silas. And after beating them, they threw them in jail. They had cast them into prison. And they told the jailer, we want you to keep them down in the lower part of the prison, the inner prison, and lock them down. And so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. And this was the beginning of real, genuine, sanctified, holy jailhouse religion in manifestation. That Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray, and they began to sing praises to God, and somebody began to talk about at midnight. Well, I want to tell you something. Don't shout me down and don't feel offended, but being beaten with many stripes like using wooden rods, I submit to you today that they might not have been awake at midnight for some supernatural reason. They might have been awake at midnight because pain had them up. They might have been awake at midnight because untreated wounds had them up. They might have been awake at midnight because they were able to feel the blood running on their cuts and bruises. They might have been up at midnight because they were able to feel the wounds, but not able to see the wounds because it was dark in that dungeon. It might have been up at midnight because they had limited ability to get moved around and get comfortable. They were sore everywhere, and it had them up at midnight. I submit to you, they were unable to move around freely after being beaten like that. No cart, no blankets, no bedding, no, not even some good jailhouse clothes. They had just thrown them in with their own stuff on them, cut up. They had stripped them down. And I want to tell you something, church. I love what happened to Paul and Silas. Can I tell you something? I want to jump right in and tell you this. If you are really called of God, when you get down like this, the real stuff that's in you ought to show up. That's the time you really need to let the good in you come out. This is not the season to say, I'm an apostle, and when you get a licking, you can't keep on ticking. This is not the time to say, I'm an apostle, and then when you get a real whipping by life and circumstances and situations, hallelujah, you can't seem to find your way out of the dilemma. But the Bible tells me that they had something in them that knew how to trouble their trouble. Hey! They had something in them that they could trouble their trouble. And I want to tell you, they did two things. They did something at midnight that anyone with this kind of trouble would do. And they did something at midnight that nobody with this kind of trouble would do. At midnight, people with this kind of trouble, they pray. And if you can't pray, apostle, you might need to go back and check your papers. If you can't pray, prophet, you might need to go back and check your paper. I'm saying prayer is intentionally involving God in your dilemma. Prayer is tapping in to power beyond yourself. Praying is into having an uninterrupted connection between earth and glory. Praying lifts up your pain, and prayer brings healing down. Praying stirs the powers of heaven to do what only God can do. Prayer is the key to the kingdom. Hey, yes. At midnight, the apostle and the prophet they did something anybody would do. But then they start doing something that nobody does. They start singing praises, because praising God is counting it all joy. Praising God is magnifying God over your pain and your trouble. Praising God is unlocking heaven with your worship. Praising God is unlocking the door to the things of God. And at midnight, help me to say at midnight, it was still dark, but it was the beginning of a new day. I want you to let that sink down in your belly. It's still dark, but it's the beginning of a new day. It's still black, but it's still the beginning. Can you look at how bad it is and say, you're still black, you still hurt, but it's the beginning of a new day? Oh! Oh, 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 it's the beginning of a new day. Whoa, glory. They were still in chains, but because at midnight they prayed and praised, it was time in the dungeon, but the beginning of a new day, the beginning of a new day is a beginning of new mercies. The beginning of a new day is God confirming his faithfulness. The prisoners were listening. Don't be silent in your trouble. Don't hush your mouth in your trouble. Let heaven hear your voice. Let heaven hear your voice. Let those around you hear your voice. Testify. Hey, glory. I said testify. Your prayers and your praise are the words of your testimony. And they overcame him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And you know what happened? They prayed and they praised, and the heavens moved, and an earthquake shook the place. An earthquake, a suddenly season shook the place, and the chains fell off. They fell off. I thought about it, Sister Jacqueline. I've seen earthquakes. I've never known earthquakes to be so bad. I can see the chains coming out of the walls. But I couldn't understand how the earthquake could make the chain come loose like an uncuffing. I'm just trying to tell you, when God moves, it ain't a happen anyway lie. Oh no, when God moves, he'll take the things that's binding you and set you free in the dark place. Set you free in the midnight. Shout yes. Yes. The doors came open. The chains fell off. Prayer and praise is the spirit of the Lord bringing liberty. Yeah. And the jailer heard the noise, woke him up out of sleep,
He drew out his sword. Thought they were all messed up. Thought they were all gone. And he took the sword out, going to commit suicide. And Paul shouted out, hallelujah, do yourself no harm. Don't kill yourself. Why? We are loose. In place, we are all here, but we are loosed in place. And the Bible lets me know that it was a dark place, because the jailer sprung in with a light and said, let me see. And he said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? I'm just trying to tell you, I'm just like William Murphy and the praise team. God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I remain confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Now I'm going to give you a chance to preach with me. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to pray until the chains fall. Shout glory. Shout glory. Shout glory. You ought to praise him. 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 You ought to praise him until the chains fall. You ought to give him the glory. Oh, glory. Lord, I can hear the chains falling. Praise him. Have you an altar service right where you stand? Glory. What you gonna do? I tell you what I'm gonna do. I don't care how hard it is. I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise him until the chains fall. I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise him until the chains fall. If they are on my job, I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise God until I see them hit the floor clean. I'm going to praise him. It's just us today. We might as well praise him. It's just us today. We might as well give him the glory. It's just us today. Oh. Thank you.